The first in a series of stress management, and we're going to talk about today the role of stress in your life and how you react to stress, the physiology of stress. Where I got this title, it might have looked familiar. I read Kathy every once in a while, not religiously, but every once in a while, and this is a Kathy cartoon, and she's frantic, and she's screaming and going, no time, no time, no time, no time, late for a meeting, late for an appointment, late, 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 too many details, too much pressure, too many projects, too little time, no time, no time, no time. And then she sits there at her desk, piled with everything, and she says, my workout program for the 90s, stressorcise. And I think that's a lot of, at least in my life, that's what I find happening a lot, is that I become so involved with so many things and I'm running here and there that's my program, that's my workout program. It's stressorcise, I overstress myself. And you don't realize it. You often don't realize it until something lays you flat, until you get sick, some physical symptom occurs that finally you say, wow, you know, this is awful, I have to slow down. And your body literally tells you that you have to slow down. And so what we're going to be doing this week, tonight we're going to talk about exactly what stress is all about and the definition of stress and how it reacts on your body, physiology. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the ABC, working with stress with the ABCs. And what I mean by that is there's a cognitive behavioral working called Albert Ellis. Albert Ellis uses the term his ABC of how you see things, that sometimes the situation is not so much what the situation is, but how you perceive the situation. And so we're going to talk about how maybe you can remove some stress from your life by being able to look at the situation in a different way. The third session will deal with nutrition and exercise, and we'll talk just how much nutrition and exercise play a role in how your body deals with stress. Our fourth session, we will work on progressive relaxation and breathing techniques. I'll say, well, do you know how to breathe? Well, oftentimes we are not breathing correctly, and the lack of oxygen that results in that can cause stress. And then our last session, we will work with some meditation, some visualization, and prayer, and how that can affect and help with the stress in your life.
That means when? When did the last one happen?
The last one will happen on Saturday. So these sessions, there'll be one Monday and Tuesday. There won't be one Wednesday. I will be walking up the Holden Lake, leaving my stress. And then we will have Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Okay. Well, let's talk about what is stress. What do you understand stress to be? Before I give the definition that I'm going to be working with, how do you define stress?
Frustration, I guess, would be you get uptight and your whole body reacts.
Okay.
So you respond in a way you don't want to respond. Would that be?
Okay, all right. So you get uptight and somehow your body reacts. Mm-hmm. And it reacts in a way you don't want it to. Okay? And so it reacts negatively.
Can you use a darker color?
Uh-huh.
Before I get stressed.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and those aren't
the right markers.
Those aren't the right markers.
They're
not erasable markers. Instant watercolor.
No. They're supposed to be erasable.
That one.
You gotta go get the right ones.
Yeah.
Oh, you got them? We have something that's on the board that will stay for quite some time.
Yeah, that's permanent. Okay?
Don't get stressed out over it.
Okay. So your, I'll try the same color. Body reacts negatively. Okay, anybody else? Tension. Okay, tension. That's when, that's how you do, that's how you would define stress, is tension.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is that a form of stress though? Tension?
Well, we won't worry about the technicalities of it right now. Just let's just go with your definitions of what stress is.
Overload? I borrowed from engineering.
Okay.
For me, stress is when I just get so overwhelmed, I just shut down. Mm-hmm. So it's like a shutdown.
Okay.
I don't know where to begin to fix it, you know.
Okay, so
shutdown.
So you'll go, did they take my red one? Okay. Wait, that's okay. I think I've got, do I have something in my pocket that I can do? I think that's okay, so shut down. All right, thank you. Okay, anybody else?
Thanks.
For me, it's a sort of a series of too many things that produce anxiety without a way to get down to that point.
Okay, so staying up too long, okay. Up. Too long. Okay. All right, well, I think these are all, you asked before about, is this kind of a reaction of your body? I think what we have been defining are different ways that our body reacts to stress. And what stress is, is our body's reaction to any kind of change in our life, anything that changes. So if anything's different from the status quo, we experience stress. Now, that can come from being overloaded with work. It can come from opening a Christmas present. It can come from getting off the boat at Lucerne and driving up to Holden Village and getting up into a different atmosphere, into a different environment. As pleasant as the environment is, it can cause stress in your body. So stress is your body's reaction to any kind of change. In 1930, any question? Well, before I, let me, do you have any question about that? Do you see that? Can you see where your body reacts to any kind of change? Now, I think typically our definition of stress is anything that puts us in, distress. And those are the negative things that we think about. But there's also a kind of neutral or positive stress called eustress. But they're both reactions of our body to some kind of change. Any questions, stop me, because we go with discussion with this, and if you're questioning or not sure about where we're going, be sure and ask questions.
Do you have an example of eustress?
Yeah. Suppose a birthday party. You know, a surprise birthday party. Someone gives you a surprise birthday party. That's delightful. That's wonderful. But that can cause stress in your body, even though it could be positive. Okay? Anybody else think of something that can be possible?
Well, when you were talking about distress, stress and, you know, coming on to the village and found myself thinking, well, I didn't think that was stress when I came onto the village. I just felt, oh.
Yeah.
You know, and that felt good to me.
Right, and that can be youth stress. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's your body's reaction to a change.
So youth stress is positive?
Yes, youth stress is generally considered positive. It doesn't, we'll get into how your body physiologically works it, but it doesn't create the high amount of adrenaline and the other chemicals that go through your body. It creates it for a shorter period of time, but you often don't have that at a heightened level, where distress is often denoted because of the length of time and the height at which it is. With the chemical body and bodily reactions. Okay, let's look at a little history about the body. In 1930, a gentleman by the name of Dr. Walter Cannon talked about the flight versus fight instinct that many of us have. This is historically when our caveman brothers and sisters lived long ago. This is how they survived. Stress is part of our lives too. And in fact, the positive and the negative of stress is that in order for us to survive, we have to have stress. And that's what Dr. Cannon discovered, is that in order for the early cavemen to have survived, they needed to have this stress reaction in their body, this flight versus fight reaction, because that enabled them to either fight the bear that was coming to them and save their and have food on the table, or it allowed them to run away. It heightened their senses, and it created in them that heightened awareness that saved their lives. And so if it hadn't been for stress, you and I probably wouldn't be here today. If it hadn't been for the stress, the bodily reaction to that change that occurred in our early ancestors. Hans Selye was the first researcher who really took some time and went through what that physiology was all about, what that fight versus flight. And I had this person drawn on the board, and I took my time with it because I'm a poor artist. So you would think that, you know, I would be able to do this, and now I'm going to have to draw in front of you. I'm experiencing some stress with regard to this. And I'm not sure that it's you stress. Okay, that's the person. All right. This is where the physiology comes in. So I'm going to just let you know right now that I didn't attempt to memorize it. I'm reading it off a piece of paper. When you are in a stressful situation, let's talk about our caveman friend. And when the caveman walked around the corner and saw the saber-toothed tiger, a number of things happened. First off, the cerebral cortex, the thinking brain, sent an alarm to the hypothalamus, which is back here somewhere in the midbrain, and that switched on. And that switched on the stress response. And when the stress response was stimulated, the sympathetic nervous system st- started to react. And that meant that it increased the heart rate, blood started pumping more in order to get to the muscles. Blood, in your extremities, those small capillaries and veins closed, pushing the blood out from your extremities and again back up into the muscles in order for the muscles to be able to have a quick response. The body started to perspire in order that there would be a cooling off because of this increased heart rate. Your body temperature is going to rise, and so the body needed to cool itself off so that it wouldn't overheat. And your digestive system stopped. Again, taking the blood that would normally be used in digesting food to those muscles so they could react. The diaphragm and the anus locked so that your breath became much shallower. There wasn't the ability for those lungs to make that deep breath using the diaphragm. Your pupils dilated so that your sense of sight became more acute and your hearing became much more acute. You really, you sharpened your hearing.
So it looks like an alien.
Huh?
Looks like an alien.
Yes. Yes, it looks like an alien. And in a sense, you sort of become an alien. I mean, this is a different, you become a different person at that point. You become that person who is switched on. Also, the adrenal gland started going, and that switched on process, that adrenal gland switched on to produce adrenaline and to produce epinephrine and to produce norepinephrine. These drugs, the adrenaline, the epinephrine, and the norepinephrine, they inhibit digestion, reproduction, the growth and tissue repair process, and the immune process. Now, the reason I wanted to bring that up is because in our caveman scenario, once this is switched on, after about 3 minutes, and the caveman has done all that he needs to do. Either he's fighting the saber-toothed tiger or he's run away from the saber-toothed tiger because he's been able to do all of these things because of his flight or fight response. Then generally, the switch can go off. And the same switch that switched you on, the same kinds of systems that switch you on, will switch it off. And things start to go back to normal. The blood, the heart pounds a little softer. The blood starts going back to the fingers and to the feet. Goes back to the stomach and you start digesting things. Your breathing becomes, you can breathe more deeply now. And the diaphragm isn't quite so locked. It can move, the eyes go back, the ears become less sharpened. And he can walk off and say, fine, you know, I'll carry the saber-toothed tiger home and we'll have a great meal tonight. Or he can go, I really, you know, I saved myself and I wasn't killed by that saber-toothed tiger. Today, we don't have the saber-toothed tiger to worry about. Today, we have to worry about the bills. We have to worry about getting that job done because it needs to be done in about 2 hours. We need to worry about catching that plane. We need to be worried about the fight that we have with our neighbor or our spouse or our significant other. Those are the things that switch on the stress response in us. And What happens is that often our stress response is not switched off. So we've been created with an excellent switch on in our stress response that saved us many, many thousands of years ago. The switch off process is not so accurate. And oftentimes it stays switched on. And as a result, your heart continues to pump more, your stomach, the blood is not getting to your stomach, and you develop a number of symptoms that are called chronic stress symptoms. And these kind of chronic stress symptoms can be the suppression of the reproductive system, lung disorders such as asthma and bronchitis. Sometimes it's the loss of insulin, which can be the onset of diabetes. The inhibition of the immune system. We've been wonderful, the medical community has been able to be wonderful in helping to get us from the early plagues like polio and smallpox and whatever. But we have some modern plagues now as a result of the stress, the chronic stress syndrome. Things like cardiovascular disease, cancer, arthritis, respiratory disorders like asthma and emphysema, and ongoing depression. And that occurs when we're unable to get the switch off. When we have kept the adrenal gland keeps secreting and keeps producing adrenaline and epinephrine and norepinephrine, it doesn't know when to turn it off. And what we can try and do to enable that to turn off is to use some stress-reducing methods. And those stress-reducing techniques or methods can help the body switch it off, can help the body turn off those stress-producing symptoms. Any questions? No, that was a long lecture. I feel lecture that long.
So fear and stress, physical attributes, are the same in a lot of ways. Fear.
Well, fear would probably produce stress. Again, stress is any change, your body's reaction to any change. And so anything that annoys you or that frightens you or that excites you or that worries you, challenges you, frustrates you, and we can think of a lot of things that might not seem so negative. Like challenge. You know, you might be working a puzzle or you might be in a real creative process and come to a problem or come to a crossroads in what you're doing. That's a real challenge. Well, even by challenging you, you're creating some stress. Again, if the process can't be shut off, or if the process continues over a long time, it becomes distress. Even used stress can become distress if it continues over a long period of time without allowing the body to rest, without allowing the body to switch off. Can you give me an example of something that is very positive and then all of a sudden you realize that it's not so positive for your body anymore? You know, that starts out really positive?
Wedding?
Yeah. Yes. A wedding. What an exciting time that can be. And yet, if you're planning this wedding for 6 months, you know, suddenly you're realizing by the time it gets to the wedding, oh my gosh, you know? And that's because this has been kept on. The switch has been kept on.
and it's not, he's not been able to let it go. Excellent example.
So the caveman was able to switch it off by fighting or leaping.
Right.
And we, in modern times, keep it switched on.
It, yeah, because we don't have that fine distinction. I mean, we go from one stressful situation to the office, and we're trying to get something. And then we come home, and we fight traffic on the way home, which is a stressful situation. And then you come in, and there may be some kind of family turmoil going on. So your stress situation, and then you go, then you watch TV, and you might get upset about the news that you see on TV. You go to bed, still very stressed, not able to relax, get up the next morning, fight the traffic in, and go back to the same stressful situation at the office. Day in, day out, that switch stays on.
It's amazing that people's bodies can do that for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's amazing.
Yes. And people don't realize that that's what happens. Before I came up here, about a week before I came up here, I looked in the mirror and I saw this person looking back at me that I didn't recognize. I mean, tight facial muscles, dark circles are under my eyes, you know, kind of expression in the face that looks like it's just sort of a vacant expression. And I said, this is a person who is under too much stress. You know, I need to get this switch off. So
would you say that some people switch off by becoming depressed or sick or?
Yes, I think so.
Not consciously, but unconsciously, they switch into that because they can't switch off.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes, especially maybe if you see someone who's very depressed, they've not been able to switch it off. And I'm not even sure that their depression has switched it off. They're just, that is the result. That is that modern plague that is a result of that chronic stress. And the stress is still there. It's just, this is their body's response to it.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing in this society, like, I'm going to make an analogy, but what we think of women, oh, you're just a housewife, or in other words, not getting credit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like stress in this society, like some people, well, if you're a big executive, then you have a reason to be stressful. But the little stresses of everyday life, I don't think people give themselves credit for the fact that, yes, they are under a lot of stress.
That's right.
Because it's not a big deal stress, but it is.
Yes, yes. No, no one is immune from distress. No.
What I'm saying is what society gives credit for, like...
Sure, yeah.
You think you're stressful under
right.
each day.
Right.
It's
which
very
is again,
real.
Which can be again stressful because you're not given... You're feeling stress, and yet you feel bad about feeling stress, and so that creates more stress in you.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Again... The good thing is that we can work on stress to reduce it and to make it at a manageable level. And maybe the negative thing, and I don't think it's negative, but some people see it, is that stress is part of your everyday life, and it's always going to be there. So we're not going to be able to get rid of it. What we need to do is to determine how to help our bodies turn off that switch, since it's not... Since it's not automatic, it sometimes needs to be helped, more so today than any. Does anybody have pencils? Okay, that's fine.
You can look this over.
If anybody does have a pencil or can be within reach of it. That's okay. You can take this in your leisure time. This is called the Life Change Index Scale. Has anyone ever seen one of these before? What it does is it indicates different
life stressors and evaluates them. It gives them a number value. And what you can do is you can evaluate the amount of stress, numerically evaluate the amount of stress that's in your life. And the higher the stress, this life change index scale indicates, is the greater chance you have for something to go wrong with your body, for you to develop some kind of a chronic stress syndrome. I remember when I took this the first time, I was
having job difficulties, dealing with a major health problem in my immediate family, changing also to a different line of work. You listed all of those things and we added them all up, and I was like at, 475, which said anything over 300, you could be, illness. So we all decided that I should probably be in intensive care somewhere at that point. I mean, yes, and I'm still alive. You know, the point is, you don't necessarily, your body is an amazing machine. It will take a lot of abuse. What you need to do is, what this indicates to you is that if there is a lot of stress in your life, your body may be doing things to, maybe under a lot of stress, and it's a matter of time before something, if you don't take care of your body, something is going to go wrong, just like your car. If you don't change the oil, it's going to burn.
I think that some of these things, like, for one person versus another person,
uh-huh.
One thing, maybe 200 points for one person.
Yes.
500, you
yes.
know what I mean?
I
so
agree.
Yeah,
you know, sure.
It really is.
Yeah, it's very, I think it's very subjective. Right. But it does kind of give you an idea of what you're doing. If you find it, when you take this and, later on and you see that you're getting a fairly high score, then you might want, I think we would want to very seriously look at some ways in which you can help yourself deal with the stress that you're under. Some very practical ways. To not continue in the way that that's going.
Do some of these long-term things create a base level? Like taking on a mortgage over $10,000, that could be 30 years.
I'm not sure I understand. So
is it just a one-time thing, or is it the divorce, pregnancy,
uh-huh.
things that last more than just
right. Instant. This thing is something that's happened in your life within the last year. We're looking at the last 12 months. The mortgage would be something that would be steadily there for 30 years. And so if you were to take this life change index in another year, in 2 years or 3 years, you would still have the mortgage right there, because it's still part of that. So that's an ongoing thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. But you may not have all the other things. maybe that's a stress, being, you know, making enough money and paying the mortgage and getting those payments in on time, that's an ongoing stress. So that ideal dream of having your own home is nice, but it also produces a long-term stress for you. It'll put you in a stressful situation for a long time. Okay, well, what I'd like to do now is another sheet of paper. These are the only, this section is the only handouts that I brought. I would like you to look at this and for a few minutes just choose again. I know you realize some of you don't have pencils, but I'm going to ask you to evaluate how you deal with stress right now. And then I'd like you to get in groups of, I think, groups of four and talk about that. Talk about how you deal with your stress right now and whether or not the ways you deal with stress you feel are helpful ways or whether they're not so helpful and what you might do to try and change those. And then we'll get back together in a big group and talk about what you found out. Or I'll tell you what, let's just do it this way. This two groups, this side and this side. That'll be easier. Then you can get some discussion going. So appraise yourself. And then get in the group and say how you use it. So when you want to, just turn your chairs around or get your chairs together and get in a group and talk with one another about which of these stress reducers you use and how valuable those are for you, or whether they're good. And maybe come up with your group with maybe the top three stress reducers that are used in your group, and then evaluate those top three. Are they good ones? Or are they bad ones? Need to do something else?
Yeah.
Shopping. Anything else? Go ahead.
Daydreaming.
Daydreaming?
Yeah.
The only one we all agreed on was food. Got to be four, complete, three.
We use food and some of those things in cleaning ourselves, so that was, I can hardly sleep with ourselves, which is right here.
Okay, all right, but that, Joe, do you want to put treating our, treating yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like us to look at this for just a second and I wonder which of these things you would maybe say by using those as a stress reducer, it may inadvertently increase your stress. Which? Food.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Shopping.
Sleep.
Hobbies make me more stressful.
Yeah.
But a shopping? We didn't put anger down there.
Put anger on there because I thought it created more stress, but that's
okay. All right. What else?
We have hobbies.
Hobbies might increase your stress. Okay. Especially if it's been bungee jumping. Certainly, it's pretty fine.
Something performance art.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, very much. Yeah.
I think treating yourself, because what if you treat yourself with a,
Okay, all right, depending on how you treat yourself, that could be.
But that could come under shopping.
Right. I'm not sure. Okay, what else?
Music. Originally, when I saw this, I thought listening to music. If it's performing music,
that's
you played it before and didn't play it exactly as well as you thought when you're trying to relieve stress.
Performing music is
okay.
You're
not
listening
to music.
Maybe both ways, but not that I'm not a musician, so.
Okay.
Listening.
All right. Any of the others?
You're a tire.
That's right. Sure. Oh my gosh, it's 6 in the morning. I gotta go exercise. Yeah. Or boy, I gotta fit this exercise in somewhere between getting home and going back out.
I know it's good for me, so I get stuck in the procrastination cycle.
Right. Yeah, anything else?
And sometimes even dating is too bad because you've been all over the things that have happened and just keep thinking about it.
Oh, no.
Really.
Daydreaming.
That's what I do really bad.
Yeah. Can we get meditation? You know, do you have time to, you know, to do that? Or if you're beginning meditation and you're not being able to stay focused, you know, you get, I'm not doing this right. I got to do this right. I'm not getting relaxed because of this. You know, I got to work. So, everyone of our top stress reducers can, depending on the situation, increase your stress in some place. And I think that comes back to what I said before, is that stress is part of our everyday life. And so, one of the things that we need to do is to attempt to increase our capacity to cope with stress. And this week, that's what I'm hoping that some of the exercise and some of the things that we'll talk about we'll be able to do.
What if they make us more stressful?
They make me more stressful. You know, I mean, so yeah, they could, but. There are three ways that I'd like to point out that you might be able to increase your capacity to cope with stress. One is to reduce the quantity and or the difficulty of the tasks you have to do. That means do less and enjoy it more. That's one way. Another way is to reduce the time pressure that you put for yourself to complete those tasks. You know, don't schedule dozens of things. And the third way is what we're going to work on this week, is to increase your coping skills through re-education.
Could you repeat that real quick?
Sure. First way is to reduce the quantity and or the difficulty of the tasks. Do less, enjoy it more. Reduce the time pressure you put on yourself to complete the tasks. And thirdly, increase the scope of your coping skills through re-education. And that's what we're going to do this week. Tomorrow we'll talk about the ABCs, and it's one method in which you can look at perhaps a situation in a different way, which may help you reduce your stress in that way. It is 7:45. Do you have any other questions?
Well, I want to ask, my frustration wasn't on here, and I was talking to her about that. Is frustration, you become frustrated, so it leads to anger, and then you really are angry? I mean, I don't understand.
I think oftentimes I often say that I'm frustrated about something instead of saying I'm angry about it, because
okay,
for me, to be angry is,
okay,
you know,
yeah,
and that's not good.
Okay.
So I think, you know, that's frustration / anger is probably oftentimes the same thing. Yeah, that's not near, you know, it's not nearly as negative.
And you're angry because you're frustrated that you're not dealing with the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.